than that. What did they dance? They danced the Jews!
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Get Up The Yard. I'm Dunny, your MC of sorts, and this week I'm joined by Luxy, Frank, Dave and Sean. Lads, how are we doing? Absolutely fantastic there, as you can hear. Why do I bother? Every fucking week's the same. We'll give you last the floor and you all just sit there. Useless shower of bastards, I swear to God. Anyway, they're fine. They're alive. You can hear Luxy there. Great. Well done. Well, I'm glad to be back in London. I mean, I had a great time. I was in... obviously, spent 5 days in Dublin, and I always like to go back home to Dublin, you know, just really, I'm a history buff, lads, you know, I love my history, I love things in the past, and going back to Dublin's a real walk around the past, and see how things were done in the 90s and 2000s, wonderful stuff anyway, but glad to be back in the modern metropolis that is London, and you know.
That's where you live, isn't it?
That is where I live, and gyms that actually accept card, and you don't have to put in a 10-euro note and get a fucking a piece of paper that says this is your day pass out of a fucking vending machine, like some of us had to do in a particular gym in Dublin. But anyway, but of course,
Dublin and London have two things in common. There's no English.
Oh, Sean, that's very racist now, Sean. That is. Oh, no. I thought we were turning back on the racism now, lads. You know, that's why Dave wasn't on for a while. He was very offended. But, of course, the main reason why I was over in Dublin was, and speaking of antiquated, was to see the Irish football team play against Denmark, which we spoke about, and Wales. Of course, the last time we played Wales before this match in the Viva was a 4-1 hammering in Cardiff. But, of course, this was a chance. This was a chance to silence the choir, slay the dragon. Stamp all over the daffodils. It didn't go quite that way. Just one singular Harry Wilson free kick, and there's Frank again. Never listen.
You're making it out that Frank's very popular, don't you know that? He doesn't get that many texts.
He always gets a text when we're recording a live podcast.
He always does.
Oh, I get a lot of texts, boy. I'm agree with that.
And there's another one.
There is another one.
Takes. Why do I bother that? Jesus Christ. Anyway, where was I? Yeah, Wales. Yeah, and the crap match. Although we did have 3 minutes of pure pleasure without the orgasm, as Kenny would say, that little spell in front of the goal. But it was a Harry Wilson free kick. But actually, it was funny where I was in the stadium, Kenny goes to me. I was with Kenny and his brother Carl, and he goes, Harry Wilson, he's a hell of a Fulham. 2 seconds later, bang, 1-0. And that was really it. Lux, I'm going to start with yourself because you made a comment about Martin O'Neill saying that you wanted to punch him or slap him because he said he was quite good and he's very confident we will qualify for Euro 2020, even though now, because chances are we're going to be relegated from our group into Group C, become third. What is the word I'm looking for? Third seeded. And that means now we're in serious trouble and it's looking very doubtful. What say you, Luxy?
My comment derives from the fact that there's so much bullshit and lies and misinformation that are being put forward by Martin O'Neill that completely contradict what he says about his ability as a manager. And everyone well understands that he's on about 2 million euros a year. I think he's signed a new deal around this year. Yeah. The FAI don't exactly have the funds to sack him on the spot. You'd only imagine that under any other federation that has the funds and isn't worried about finances, which they shouldn't be, because there is a reasonable amount of money, as far as I'm aware, that is pumped into the Irish football game. But the only reason why he hasn't been sacked, in my opinion, is because the FAI can't afford to. And, you know, we're, as we've said before, we're stuck at this impasse where our voice as fans isn't listened to. And the FAI can't get rid of them because it costs them too much, or they simply don't care. So we're just going to be continually frustrated with the football that we see. And I'll just say one more thing. You know, Martin O'Neill has repeatedly criticised his players in a public forum on national TV by saying that they're not good enough or the quality isn't there. Therefore, that always seems to be a quasi-excuse for the performances that the Irish team display. But it's absolute rubbish, because on Tuesday, the Welsh team had more championship players than the Irish team did. That has always been a fallacy within the Martin O'Neill setup that, you know, we have championship players, that's why we're not good enough. Wales had more. They still played better. They weren't amazingly better than us, but they still scored a good goal. They still passed the ball better. They still moved better. They wanted to win the match more. The Irish players didn't display that. So, you know, Martin O'Neill, as I keep saying, is talking through his arse, and that's why I wanted to give him a slap.
Well, I think you have to get in the queue there, pal, behind the rest of us. Yeah, no, I take your point there. I mean, he's constantly going on, oh, we don't have a Robbie Keane, and Seamus Coleman's injured, and really running it down.
That was did you see that during the week, the Waterford Whispers piece? Seamus Coleman is injured.
every line, Seamus Coleman is injured. Yeah, no, I can't disagree there. Frank, you were also at the match. You were with Luxie there. You were in the D4 seats, you know, the Donnybrook seats. What did you make? You didn't pay for your ticket, so you probably still felt ripped off, did you?
Yeah, I mean, I felt aggrieved that I couldn't ask for a refund. I think half the attendance, you know, probably didn't pay for their tickets. You know, that's how bad things have got. That should be the most damning indictment of what has become of Irish football. You know, the economy is in, you know, I suppose getting back towards a bit of a boom, and still we can't sell tickets for one of the biggest sporting events you know, of that week. You know, we have to give away more tickets probably than we sold. It was dire. It was dour. The atmosphere was very flat, which you know, you can't really blame the fans for.
Nope.
It was a really bad match. You know, Wales were very poor as well, I thought, but they looked somewhat well coached. Whereas with the Irish team, I was privileged to have a great view of the game, and it's sticking out a mile that very little coaching goes on. Even little things like throw-ins, the players don't know who's meant to be taking throw-ins. You know, James McLean was continually taking throw-ins, and when really should have been the guy long taking them, just to create another person a little bit further forward to occupy them. It's just an absolute mess. You know, looking at it's the first Ireland match I've been to in a while. It'll probably be the last one I'll go to, because there's literally no joy in it. Most of the people where I was sitting weren't even bothered to take their seats. They were in the bar watching the game from behind the glass. It's a really bad time for Irish football. You know, there's nothing. If we were playing bad and getting results, you could probably put up with it. In fact, you could put up with it, because we have done before. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we're now playing really poor football, as we have been pretty much throughout O'Neill's tenure, and also getting beat quite regularly, that's as bad as it can be.
Yeah.
You know, just there's as an event, you know, it's a good thing to go to. You meet up with your mates and things like that. But in terms of a sporting event, it was very, very poor. Very poor game of football, and yeah. Wales were slightly better.
Yeah, they were. I mean, as I said, it was that one little spell, 3 minutes, where we put the goal under pressure. It was euphoric. That's what football should be about. It's about entertainment. Okay, it's about getting results, you know, as well. But it's about entertainment. You know, I mean, you feel ripped off. What about the poor fucker who's, you know, missing work, paid for his fucking flight over to Dublin, you know, and thankfully, thanks to the very generous hospitality of Dave, who I'm just going to get on in a second. You know, obviously he looked after me very well, and you know, it was great for me. It was great. I'll still come and see the matches, but yeah, the matches are piss poor quality. But you know, Dave, you were up in the gods. You had a great view. You had a great view actually where you were. You would have seen the whole lot. What did you make of it? Much of a would you be like Frank, agreed that you couldn't get your money back?
Yeah, I didn't pay for a ticket either. I got one off a friend, but he could only get me up into the nosebleed section, which is, you know, above the up in the gods. But like, I don't know what more I can say about the match that hasn't already been said, really. Or it's even worse, meriting comments. Frank kind of hit the nail on the head there with everything that was said.
Mm.
Like, players were just lost, didn't know what they were doing. I mean, playing like Cyrus Christie in midfield, but this was for Denmark an hour before, before he even knows he's playing in midfield. That's just, you know.
Yeah, madness. Pure madness.
It's obvious that they haven't been, you know, working like that for the whole week. So there's no coaching going in. There's no game plan going in at all. And players were running on blind alleys and trying little flicks and just not knowing what to do. And it was hopeless, really. The match was terrible. My only thing is I actually wish I could have got to see like Eriksen or Bale or Ramsey playing. So at least I would have got to see some, you know, good football on display. But really what I saw was two poor teams in both matches, both the Denmark and the Wales match. And really, they were just Wales. They just edged out the game with a brilliant free kick from Harry Wilson, who's a bit of a specialist at that.
Absolutely. I mean, and they were actually, that's the thing that, well, you know, Martin O'Neill goes on about. We've known Robbie Keane, even though he retired like a year ago. And, you know, we wish Coleman is injured. I mean, Wales didn't have their two best players, did they, Dave? I mean, they were devoid of any quality. They just were that much, that tiny little bit better. And of course, at that moment of class. On the goal itself, Dave, I know Dunphy and Johnny Giles had a massive row about it on the podcast. Dunphy reckons Harry Arthur shouldn't have been in the wall. Giles reckons that's irrelevant because Robinson shouldn't have ran out when he did. And Brian Kerr also said that if Robinson, if he had someone taller, that it would have hit him. Would have hit him on the loaf. I'm not going over Harry Arthur's head. I mean, that goes back to what Frank said about no coaching, doesn't it? There was no, no planning, was there?
No, there's a lackadaisical kind of approach to the game on the very basic level of it. Like throw-ins, like putting a wall up, like defending a free kick like that. The free kick itself was technically good. It was one of those, it was like a Ronaldo technique, one of those floaters in the air. But I mean, it didn't get that high until it was going high towards before it reached the goal. Now, I thought it went to the top corner. I thought it won't stop.
Yeah, Chris Sutton. I was just going to say, Chris Sutton said that he felt Randolph was awful for it. He said that he was on the panel there in Virgin with Brian Kerr.
I thought he could have looked. I mean, it wasn't in the corner. So, I mean, he probably could have reached it if he'd have been, you know, a little bit on his toes a bit more. But, I mean, it was a good free kick. And the wall probably could have done his job. But, I mean,
you're never going to blame Randolph, though, Dave, right? Because you're in the goalkeeper's
union. I'm on the goalkeeper's union as well. But, I mean, it wasn't exactly in the corner. It could have been prevented, I suppose.
Fair enough. No. Very, very salient point, as you always make, Dave. Of course, we had a newcomer. A relative newcomer, a man who doesn't normally get involved in football. Sean, we got you in. We thought, well, why should we suffer and not you? What did you make of it? Your first game in Aviva for some time, or is it your first time ever? No, it's your first time ever in Aviva.
It's my second football match. I was at the first round of Ireland versus France before the handball. It wasn't really much. I mean, like, I had a good laugh, but it wasn't very inspiring to watch or anything, you know. It was just,
What did you make of the experience, though? I mean, did you feel a buzz about it, Sean? Did you, when you were in town, did you feel, there's an Ireland match on here? Oh, look, there's all the lads. There's that handsome fella, Dunny, there. This is great. This is what I want to do. Did it entice you? Did it, you know, encourage you to want to go to more matches?
No. I'm probably the worst person to ask. I'm not really interested in going to football matches and stuff, but no, it's it was a good, I suppose, on the way in and stuff. There was kind of a good atmosphere and stuff, but
that was the Welsh fans.
I think any optimism kind of quickly went after the game started, you know. It was just
it was a bit like American bit like American football when you go to, well, I've been at a few American football matches in Wembley, and you see all the fucking, you know, razzmatazz, the whole, and then all of a sudden, then it starts, the whistle blows, and you go, oh my God, this is it. Yeah. Sorry, Luxie, I know you're going over to see a football game soon. Over here in London, where I live.
You've ruined the weekend for me now, Donny.
Oh, please. You've seen.
He knows what he's doing.
Destroyed it.
You know what I'm talking about. You just got to get there, get smashed in your seat, Jay, and you'll be fucking.
No, I've been telling everyone I was going over, telling them how much I can't wait to watch my first American football match, and you destroyed it in a couple of words.
Good. Because you fucking always destroy it for me, you fucker. So I'm good, and it's shit, and it's shit. Yeah, there you are. And it takes an hour to get out of the stadium as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm literally got. I'm like Sean when it comes to American football. Like, he is with football. I have no interest in it. I know none of the players. I barely understand the rules. As long as they're serving a couple of beers, I'm sure I'll have a great time either way.
That's it. Man, that's beer flow, man.
Yeah.
The beer flow. Speaking of experience, how did you go? I mean, I have a season ticket. I'm in the the so-called singing section, the direct enemy to John Delaney in the south stand. I am in the south stand, and I know a few things. I know from my experience is that apparently we're the only part that gets patted down, because I think a sign went in that was anti Delaney, but we are the only ones to get patted down. And I know it's a very poor relationship between the fans and the stewards there, and you know, I've been on both sides of that divide. And just very arsey, like nobody, they just don't get on. They seem very heavy-handed with us. When Shane Long got fucking taken down and he got booked, I got a little bit emotional, shall we say. I may or may not have called the referee a bollocks at the top of my voice. And a guy like put a security guy in front of me, and you know, it's just very heavy-handed, and there's a bad relationship there. Well, I'll tell you what, lads. I mean, David Davis may have been incorrect saying that you could buy pints in Dublin with your sterling. But one thing you can buy with sterling in Dublin is a match program. When I was outside the stadium and I was struggling to get my 20 euro out to buy my programs, you know me, I love my match programs. And I couldn't find my 20 euro note. So I took out my card holder with, you know, it has everything, the Leave card, the Oyster card. And I have an emergency fiver just underneath it. You know, it's that is a thing. You need that. And she's like, oh, no, that's all right. We'll take your sterling off. And fucking almost like took the sterling out. You know, obviously she's got her directions from John Delaney. And I bought my match program with a £5 note. How fucked up was that?
Well, maybe it's because like we're playing against a team that uses sterling. You know, so there was probably an anticipation that there would be people paying by that, and that it would be, if you know, make sense to accept euro and sterling around the stadium. I don't know.
Fuck you and your fucking sensible answers.
I actually, sensible answer.
That's the most sensible thing I've heard all weekend.
I got a free program.
Yeah,
fucking wankers. Where's my free?
You threw yours in the bin. The best thing about the match was how quality the program is. Like the.
No,
the
I still have
really good quality program.
They've always been. I've always loved the Irish programs. They've always been very good. You get the English ones and the fucking Northern Ireland. I've had Northern Ireland and English ones are shite. Like the Irish ones have always been really good. But yeah, they're very kid friendly. I noticed as well. Lots of information in there. Fucking you wankers with your free fucking programs and your free fucking tickets. And here's me, silly bollocks over here. Fucking.
The other thing I'd say to you as well, Donny, we were patted down coming in as well.
How are you? Not enough money on these guys.
I wasn't at all.
Yeah,
me and Sean were.
I just attempt at a pat down as well. I was just like,
I just walked through.
They smelled the lefty off you. They thought, oh Christ, this would be a civil fucking rights case. We pat this fucker down with his beret. Off you go. Anyway,
he was carrying a blade as well.
Yeah. Anyway, right. Well, that's the football. So obviously the next game is against. Against Northern Ireland. Lad, I hope to see you. I'll be over. I'll be waiting. I'll be there in the singing section, and hope to see you guys there as well. Moving on to a little further away from home, the Premier League returned this weekend. A blessed release, really, especially to my pocket. Man City, of course, Frank, gave Burnley an absolute thumping, 5-0 at home. Very lucky. They should have been down to 10 men. Vincent Kompany should have been sent off. What say you?
Yeah, certainly. You know, that's a fair thing to say. It was a very rash tackle. I think it's one of them where it just happens so early in the game. Yeah. And the ref doesn't want to send someone off that early. That's why he probably gets away with it. But you got the feeling that even with 10 men, that City would have been able to win. Probably not as convincing. But Burnley were very poor. Just silly things. I don't know if you've seen Bernardo Silva's goal. The ref doesn't give a penalty, and they all just stop playing, all the Burnley players. And then Sean Dyche is complaining, you know, about that.
A thrill of football.
Play to the whistle. Yeah.
You got it.
Very convincing win. Good to see De Bruyne back, and tougher tasks ahead for City, you would imagine. After an international break, the most important thing is just to get the victory. So anything else is a bonus. So 5 goals from 5 different goal scorers, and the return of De Bruyne, more minutes for Foden. Sterling got a nice rest. Good.
Happy little blues, are we? We're all a little happy now. Clap your hands and all that shite. Speaking of huge results and, you know, really important fixtures here, huge, massive, colossal results. Luxie, Liverpool, after witnessing the thumping given their title rivals City gave to Burnley, pressure was all on Liverpool and they needed a massive result. And they got one, Luxie. They got a massive, massive result at a John Smith Stadium. What say you?
Didn't watch it. Don't
massive
care.
Result, Luxie. Huge. Fucking massive.
Didn't watch it. Don't care. Won't ever care.
Oh, no. We know that's not true.
It's Liverpool. I just don't care, Dunny. That's my opinion on it. They got a win. Great. Whoop-dee-doo. Doesn't change my life whatsoever. I'm surprised it has that much of an effect on you, but it doesn't, fair enough. But yeah, you know, great. I suppose just from a neutral point of view, hopefully it makes the title race more interesting, you know, especially the fact that Chelsea got a very decent point in the end for themselves yesterday. So from that perspective, yeah, great. But in the grand scheme of things, I honestly don't give a fuck if Liverpool wins, honey.
Bollocks.
I never will.
Bollocks. That, how can you fucking lie to me? Look at me in my virtual eye and lie to me, Luxie. I fucking know you. That is killing you inside, that is. If Liverpool won the Premier League, what would you do? Don't tell me you wouldn't do anything. Bollocks. You'd be probably up there to Liverpool with a shotgun, wouldn't you?
No, I'd probably get a good night's sleep, wake up and have a good shit, and then carry on my day, don't
you? You wouldn't be sleeping. You wouldn't be sleeping for a few weeks.
I'd be fine, Donny. Trust me, I'd be all right.
I didn't see the game live. I was in work, but I did see it on Match of the Day. From what I saw of it, we were very lucky, actually. They hit the post, a screamer of a shot. Lovren, again, lucky. We looked like we gave away a penalty, or it was a very rash challenge, very silly. What I was very impressed with personally was that we actually shuffled the pack a little bit. Salah wasn't a definite to start because he got injured for playing for Egypt during the week, scoring from a corner, actually. And Mane obviously had a dislocated thumb. Firmino did play, but Mane wasn't on the bench. Firmino was on the bench, but we shuffled the deck there and we got a decent result, I think. Dave, I say you were devastated yesterday, mate, really, when Chelsea got a last-second equaliser, 96 minute. I say you were crushed.
Well, I wasn't as annoyed as Jose, but it was a bit disappointing, all right. It was a pretty good game of football, actually. For the neutral, anyway. I mean, I thought first half was pretty.
How would you know, Dave? You're not neutral.
For the neutral, it was a good game of football. What
fucking neutral? What score was the Sheffield United match yesterday?
They lost 2-1 to Derby. Good game of football as well.
Did you go out to the pub for that one, or was it just the United match now?
I believe I was in the pub for the United match, yes.
United match?
I don't think we want to hear about what I got up to on Saturday. I think we just want to hear about the game. And the game was played. It was decent. I mean, the first half was good. I think it was
good for Chelsea, Dave. It wasn't good for United.
terrible defending by United. Pogba obviously completely not giving a crap about defending and letting Rudiger in to score an easy header and actually going around and blaming Lindelof when the reality was that Lindelof had his man marked, Luiz, and Pogba's man was Rudiger, who was completely free. So yeah, that was just awful all around defending. Second half, United got back into the game, but it seems that, like, you know, it can only play when their backs to the wall, because if Mourinho has to utilise his strongest assets, i.e. his attacking players, the likes of Mata, Martial, Rashford, and actually go out and play them and go on the front foot, which we've been saying time and time again is United's strength. And they got back into the game and I think totally deserved to be 2-1 up when, you know, United started, took off Martial and Mata and allowed Chelsea back into the game, where really the equaliser was inevitable in that way. So I thought the draw was a fair result, and mixed feelings about it, I suppose. It was probably Chelsea probably deserved something out of it for the way they got back into the game and for Mourinho taking the handbrake off the United team.
For once. I had to laugh at Mourinho's reaction, lads, at the end of it, where the guy went across him, you know, giving his socks. And he went across to go back, and then Mourinho was incensed, which is always tickles me. I always love seeing that Mourinho getting his feathers ruffled. I mean, he's one to fucking talk, isn't he? Here's a guy that ran down, you know, against Porto. Porto, when he knocked Man United out of Champions League in 04, and he runs down the touchline in front of all fans, and he ran across the pitch when he was Inter Milan manager to the other side of the Nou Camp. You know, and he was giving it loads and all this stuff, and he gets incensed. Now, apparently, I don't think there's going to be any action. I haven't seen that. The guy apologised, and Mourinho accepts it. But did you see Mourinho giving it as well? The three Premier League. He was getting some stick from the Chelsea fans, and he was giving out the three Premier League titles to the Chelsea fans. Did you just let see that?
Yeah, I think he's every right to do that.
Yeah, no, if he's getting sick,
I think Chelsea hadn't won the league in over 50 years. Before he was appointed manager, and he won three league titles. That in itself is something special, and I think they should be more respectful to him. It's not as if he's ever been disrespectful to Chelsea throughout the course of his career. I know, despite possibly, you know, the disagreements he had with Conte last year, but I think that was more directed at him. It wasn't directed at the club. So I think, in my opinion, the Chelsea fans should be more respectful to him. As to what happened after the match, It was much to do about nothing. It was resolved in the right way. Apology was made. Apology accepted. You know, the likes of Jamie Redknapp and Graeme Souness, and your one Dag Leash. I think she was hosting the aftermatch show. You know, for them it's clickbait. It's great for them just to extend the longevity of the program that they're showing live. You know, it's a talking piece, but in the grand scheme of things, is anything important? Absolutely not. No. It's pageantry of the Premier League. It's a soundbite. It's what you're going to see in the highlights. But it was nothing really.
No, fair enough. Well said, as always. Right, lads, so we will leave the football there. Now, on to the other bollocks. Right, so that's all the football nonsense out of the way. Sean, you brought to our attention a particular matter, a legal matter, involving a Lewis and a brand new hobby that seems to, well, come to my attention in Dublin. Probably best if you just explain to us, Sean, about this.
Yeah, a hobby. It's actually probably not new, but it's basically when you see a tram going by, you hang on to it and, I don't know, see how long you can hang on for it for or whatever. And anyway, this girl, this young girl, she did it. I think she was 13 when she did it. And, of course, she fell off. And now apparently she had a bad head injury or whatever, but the courts end up paying her out. I think it was 500,000 or something around then.
Wow.
And, you know, I think most people were shocked that she was rewarded for basically doing something that's putting her life in danger. You know, plenty of people like myself thought she should have been fucking fined rather than fucking rewarded. But yeah, she's now 500 grand better off for getting a jant on a Lewis.
That's ridiculous. I mean, I'm looking here. It says she alleged failure to have any adequate visual systems employed and activated on the tram.
Yeah, what they got her on was, or got Lewis on, was that the driver was looking on the side that passengers are getting out on, and she was on the other side, and he wasn't watching, which, why would he? He's looking in front of him and with passengers. So it's just ridiculous that she got a payout for this.
See, this is why, lads, in London, where I live, you have Please Mind the Gap. You have these signs because of fucking people like this who, you know, when you try to use the honor system with them and say, look, here is a tram, this will go through. It's not barricaded off. It's going to flow through the city. It's going to flow amongst traffic. We're going to have to use the honor system here and trust you not to be a fucking idiot and be an adult. And then you have people that do this and they get fucking money for it.
And it's just going to encourage others to do it, you know?
Yeah. But now they'll have to spend a fortune on putting these things in and having signs and everything. Sorry, Lux, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Yes,
I
did.
Well, no, they on the DART lines and the train lines, they definitely have Please Mind the Gap, and they have it on an audio speaker as well. But yeah, you know.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying this is where it comes from, because it's, you know, you don't.
I know. The only thing I will say is I'm not defending this girl's actions whatsoever, and I'm not saying the fee is justified, but at the same time, you have to remember that she was a child when this happened. Therefore, common sense, as we know it as adults, I don't think we can necessarily apply that to the child in this instance.
I know, but I think
the way the courts saw it is that Veolia, or I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say their name.
Veolia,
that's their name. They could have been argued to be negligent in the sense that they didn't put up enough safety measures to prevent this from happening. And it wasn't as if this is the first time it happened and this person got injured and they sued. As far as I'm aware, they were advised on numerous occasions to apply measures to prevent this from happening, and they didn't. That's what really did them in. The fact that they were told this is happening, you're not applying, you're not spending money, or you're not putting in place infrastructure to prevent children or any adult or any person from doing this. And that's what got done. But for me, the sickener is that she was, both parties agreed that she contributed to her own negligence, in the sense that if she wasn't guilty of that, she would have been paid a much higher fee. So imagine she's getting paid £550,000 or euros, because we're in Ireland and not London, to skim on the back of a Lewis, bang your head, have serious brain injury, and get paid that amount of money. To me personally, and any right-minded person, it is a stigma. Of course she's delighted, of course her family's delighted, but it doesn't make sense whatsoever.
It just encourages fucktards, really, doesn't it? I mean, it's live in, you know, I mean, look, I know when you were saying that about the courts, with her age being 13, and you're taking that into account, and that's what, you know, you're looking at that from the court side. But obviously, we all knew at the age of 13, you know, you don't hop on the side of a fucking tram. I mean, there was a game when I was a kid called Skitchin. It was an EA Sports game, or Electronic Arts. And it was like Road Rash. Remember Road Rash? But with this, these lads used to do rollerblading.
Yeah, that was a great game.
It was a great game. But with Skitchin, they used to go on the back of the car. Done the exact same way as Road Rash. They go on the back of the car, and then you had to try and go on the rollerblades and race people. And on the back of the cars, I mean, yeah, I played it as a kid, but, you know, on the computer. But I knew not to go out and do that. I knew not to go out and play in railway tracks, or, you know, or bus surf and stuff like that. I mean,
they do that. I've seen that. I was walking up O'Connell Street. I was going towards my jiu-jitsu class, and I saw a young fella surfing on the back of a Dublin bus on his rollerblades. And you're looking at him going, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. And the driver can't see.
The driver can see absolutely nothing. No. And all it takes is for that young person, you know, because like the Lewis tracks actually cross dissect O'Connell Street. And if that fella gets caught in those Lewis tracks, he's going over and he's going to get fucked. But kids do it all the time. It's, you know, it's the Snapchat, it's the Instagram video of them doing it. So for them, their inhibitions are, you know, they're encouraged to do it because it gets some social likes on social media. So it's what the world has come down to.
Ah, man, I don't know. Frank, you're very quiet on this. What do you make of this? Tram surfing.
Well, obviously, tram surfing as a thing is extremely dangerous, as you can imagine. I mean, it's something I used to do years ago. We used to call it scutting. And
what is scutting?
Scutting is where you would, you know, jump on the back of a truck and try and stay on it as long as possible. And, you know, there was many times where when you're trying to jump off, it was.
I don't remember. This was it. This was your other friends, was it? Over the bridge.
Well, I don't think you guys would have ever done it. But I used to do it a lot. Like, we even used to try and do it all the time off the back of the ice cream man, with our rollerblades and things like that. You know, it was just one of them things. You knew there was an element of danger, but, you know, if you fell off, you just got up, and, you know, you certainly didn't cross your mind then to take an action against that person for injuring yourself. In fact, you were just trying to make sure that your mother or father didn't know you'd been doing it. But what I would say is that there's been a culture created in Ireland, and maybe it's in the UK as well, and you'd know better than us, Tony, but certainly in Ireland, where there's a compensation culture, like we've seen it about, you know, people getting stuck in lifts and getting awards and you know, things like that. So, like, you can't really blame anyone here. Like, you know, if what I would say to, I suppose the question I put to you guys is, if, I don't know, let's just say you had a few drinks on you and you were silly enough to do what this person had done, and you fell off the side of a Lewis, would you guys lodge a claim knowing that you could possibly get $500,000 out of it?
Yeah, I would. I can honestly tell you, I would. If it happened to me, I thought I could. But do you reckon that's what it was? I don't think this girl was...
Well, this girl obviously suffered a severe injury, and there's probably costs associated with her care. And, like, you know, I know a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, she now has X amount of money, but, like, a lot of that could be expenses to cover medical stuff that she had to go through, you know. So a lot of this money could be already owed to hospitals for care that she received. So she mightn't be as wealthy as you might think. But, you know, at the same time, like, if people are falling and slipping, and it's like, I don't think stuff like this should be publicized in national newspapers.
No.
Because, you know, we've seen it, like, there's a cash for crash culture in Ireland where people are staging accidents with four or five people in the car, all of them getting whiplash claims. And just to give you some context, you know, a whiplash claim in Ireland, so a soft tissue claim, you get €15,000. In the UK,
grand for whiplash.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't prove whiplash either.
Exactly.
So
in the UK, you get 5,000. In France, you get 1,500. So that's how I was think Ireland is. In Eastern Europe, they pay for your physiotherapy. You don't actually get any money. So our kind of book of quantum on these things is so out of whack. The court awards are so big, and we really need to get a hold on it as a bigger picture, or else, you know, you're going to be reading more and more about this stuff. But I must say, I don't know the ins and outs of the story with this girl. Like, so, you know, there is an element of kind of liability. Of course, there's a common sense, like, you shouldn't do stupid things. But companies that do operate these things almost do so on a strict liability, that no matter what happens, they're at fault, even if there's a, you know, contribution of negligence. So, you know, it's a big, I suppose it's a small piece of a bigger issue.
You're actually right, Frank, because what I've read on the back of that is local authorities, I think many local authorities have stopped building local playgrounds for children to play in because they are technically liable for whatever happens, for whatever harm is caused to any person on those premises. The local authority is culpable in law and possibly even criminally.
Which means no matter what happens, you're at fault.
They just take the joy out of everything, don't they?
Like, kids, you know, people always say, oh, geez, kids aren't playing out as much nowadays, but they don't have the facilities to, though, anymore.
They don't, no.
So, like, it definitely does have a kick-on effect when, from what we see on the face, ridiculous amounts of money are paid out for people who do really stupid things. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. Yes, she obviously does have medical bills to incurred as a result of her accident. But you know, I find it very hard, you know, as I like to believe I'm a very moral person, that I would go after someone and extract money out of them for a mistake that was all of my own making.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been in such, I've been in situations where I probably got out of claim, like the time I was in the local pub. I think you remember this, Sean. I was in the toilet and I was standing at the urinal.
Why would Sean remember that?
It was in the urinal, not the cubicle. Right. No, but I remember I stood off the thing and I slipped and went fucking knees first onto the tiles. I mean, I could have fucking taken them to the court for that. It actually wasn't my fault. I had a few drinks, but it wasn't actually my fault. The floor was wet anyway. But I never thought about doing that. You know, I've had another incident where I was assaulted with a wrench. I probably could have taken the guy and, you know, taken them to fucking... I just thought about my family's well-being and just thought, I don't want to do that with them. Don't want to put them through anything, follow through. So I just never thought to take the legal route, really. But not everyone is that.
Yeah, there are people who kind of go around, you know, geez, could something happen to me here? And, you know, allow it to happen to themselves, or, you know, become careless. You know, you're in a supermarket, you see something spilled, there's no sign.
What?
Oh, you know, what if it's slipped here, you know? There is that attitude.
There is, but I think those people are very, very few and far between them. I think...
You want to come over here? Look, see, fucking see it over here.
Well,
you ever see the dash cams of people in Russia jumping
out of America.
Cars?
I mean, there was that old trick, wasn't there, where people were cutting out their brake lights in the cars in Ireland. This was before they emigrated, and people would tell me about it, where they would actually be sitting there. And so you know, when you hit the brake, obviously the brake lights would come on, but they would cut that. And they wouldn't see a brake, and you go into the back of the car. And of course, what did he always say about an accident? Those in the back are going to the back are at fault. And I remember a guy got done for that because he found that his brake lights were cut, and he got done for it. And I don't remember. Just dirty bastards, you know. Speaking of dirty bastards, lads, just to move on. But thanks for your contribution on that, and local authorities. Apparently, Welsh police are slammed after codenaming a dog waste class Operation Irish. Basically, that's referring to a football team, then that's fair enough. But a Welsh police force has provoked outrage, this is from the Irish Mirror, after dubbing a community education program about dog mess Operation Irish. Locals have been up in arms about the scheme, which they claim portrays Irish people as monkeys or subhuman. A bit of a strange one. That the initiative on dog fouling has been rolled out in primary schools in the, I'm not even going to fucking try to pronounce that place, in Cardiff. Lots of L's and stuff. One angry father said, obviously, it's a good idea to educate children about the danger of dog mess, but when I heard the exercise had been named Operation Irish, I thought it was outrageous. There's lots of people there. There's a lady called Lila Haynes, an Irish grandmother, who's given out about it and all that. That's a bit mental, that, isn't it? Now, the police... I should explain, spokeswoman for South Wales Police confirmed the initiative undertaken by the members of the Place of Wales neighbourhood police team and was named Operation Irish. Basically, they said they do not in any way reflect the nature of the police activity or subject matter. They are just, it's an educational programme, and apparently the names are randomly assigned. What do you make of that? That's a bit... You know, do you reckon there's somebody having...
It's a randomly assigned that takes the sting out of it. I'm not really all that annoyed.
Yeah, no.
Well, the fucking broad group, Sean.
I just think there's more. Like a lot of these news stories, there's so many of them, not particularly related to Ireland, but now there's more important things in the world to be concerned about or to throw your arms up in the air than that. I don't particularly find it offensive. It doesn't bother me in the slightest. It's much ado about nothing. It's clickbait. That's all that is to me.
That's what the internet is there, Luxie. That's what we are. We get you and you're hooked. No, I'm not.
Hopefully, but no. It could be one of those unfortunate coincidences that occurred. And like the Welsh, you know, they love the Irish, apparently. They're not notoriously.
Everyone loves us, Luxie.
Yeah, so the old saying goes. But yeah, you know, if it was maybe the English police force, I might go, hang on a sec here, is this just a, is this just a you know, convenient coincidence for them? But the Welsh police, no, I'd give them the benefit of the doubt. I'd give them the benefit of the doubt and just say, yeah, it's a coincidence.
You'll give the Welsh the benefit of the doubt. That was the English. You'd be up in arms. That'd be the first conversation, the first topic on the hour.
Isn't Wales just a small town in England though? So isn't, maybe it is.
I've heard that. Somebody mentioned it to on Tuesday.
Cover your ears, Tony.
I don't know. I'm not getting involved in that.
I thought I'd seen you chanting that on Tuesday.
Not at all. I'm respectful. I'm respectful.
You call the ref a wanker though, didn't you?
No, I call him a bollocks, Jay. Okay. Bollocks has honour to it. No, it's not. Bollocks is fun. Bollocks has panache to it, Sean. Wanker is, you know, well, he was a wanker, I thought. Although I didn't actually see the thing back. He probably was right to book him. I don't know. Well, that's a bit of a letdown with the whole fucking Welsh thing. I wanted to, you know, to hear it. I should have actually said it was English police. Then we would have got a good 5 minutes out of it. Did you see that in India with... just something completely random that apparently some fellow was killed stoned to death by monkeys. Shut up.
Yeah, it's one of those stories that you have to believe at face value, isn't it?
I shouldn't laugh. This is on Sky News, right? But anyway, I'll read it out. A man in India has died after a group of monkeys threw bricks at him from a tree. Damrapal Singh, 72, had been collecting pieces of dry wood before the incident in Tikiri, Uttar Pradesh on Thursday. Police said monkeys rained bricks on the man from a treetop after collecting them from a nearby dilapidated building, the Times of India reported. He later died, unfortunately, from his head and chest injuries. Villagers have repeatedly complained about aggressive monkeys in the area, but the animals are protected species. Mr. Singh's family are set to put in a formal complaint about the incident to police. The victim's brother has said monkeys threw more than 20 bricks at the man on Thursday. And he has said that these rogue monkeys are the real culprits and must pay for it. And the officer at the station in Dogat has said, how can we register the case against monkeys? This will make us laughing stock. I know it's terrible.
You have to do something against them.
Oh, fucking hell. I'm sure there's an evidence like paw prints somewhere. No, but they have hands, don't they? Deadly monkey attacks have been on the rise in India, with wildlife experts saying that the rhesus, I'm butchering that, but there's a particular monkey. My pronunciation is shite tonight, lads. Are usually to blame. They don't know which breed attacked Mr. Singh. I'm sure that's a great, you know, think to his family. But apparently in 2007, a deputy mayor of India's capital of Delhi, S.S. Baji, died after being attacked by a horde of wild monkeys and falling from a first floor balcony.
Hang on. What killed him there? Was it the falling off the balcony or was it the monkeys?
Little for column A, Jay, and a little for column B.
All
right,
okay.
Look, we have to do something about it, lads. This is how Planet of the Apes starts. You know, you have to get them while they're throwing bricks.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, man, that's mentalist. Now, I've been by a monkey once in Luton, in Ipsnane Zoo, but I've never had bricks thrown at me.
How did you get bitten by a monkey?
Because I fed the fucker cucumber and stuff. He rubbed my hand and he went, I was like, oh, this is lovely. And his little cute little hands, and he picked it up and he was eating all the little vegetables and stuff like that. And then he saw my thumb, and he started rubbing it together, and apparently that means that's when they're about to bite you. And that little motherfucker sucked his fucking teeth into my thumb, and I was like, that's it. The lady said, by the way, in the zoo, oh, you're not to frighten him or startle him. And he's biting me, what do I do? Oh, don't startle him. You know, I wanted to pick him up and fuck him into the nearest pond. But
did she not also say do not feed them?
No. I was doing the Whipsnade Zoo zookeeper for a day, so actually I was feeding. They gave me stuff to feed him.
You were the Steve Irwin for the day, right?
I should have sued him, actually, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Could have got 50 pence. Bankrupt the fuckers. But yeah, I just some of those stories, man, just around the world are fucking mental. Speaking of mental.
Ever hear of Travis the Monkey?
No.
Who attacked its owner. She was like, she had him on like antidepressants and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
yes. Like, yeah, yeah.
Shoot her face off.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
It's just, I remember that story. Yeah. That was horrible.
Oh, I saw a lady as well. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. She was on Oprah, I think.
Yes. Yeah. She
horribly disfigured.
Just no face.
Yeah, she just said, that's what they go for. Go for your hands, your face, and your genitals.
Oh, so fucking
stay
hell.
Stay away from them.
In that order.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I might be all right with that, to be honest.
Yeah, they can. It's just even on each other. Like, you know, there's nature documentaries where they, you know, they all turn on one of them. And they say, like, they're so violent to each other that it's like they're almost as bad as humans. Like, Jesus. Chimpanzees
well,
and stuff.
Well, it goes to show, you know, don't trust a wild animal, especially not in your own home. Have you ever seen that movie, Grizzly Man?
I have. I love it. Yeah,
it's a very good documentary. But, you know, the moral of the story is you know, don't hang out with a wild bear because you might get eaten. And that's what happened.
If you haven't seen Grizzly Man, that's homework now, lads.
Fascinating
documentary about this guy who, thought he could live with grizzly bears.
Is that the one where he gets the audio of the bears ripping him apart?
Yes.
Yeah, at the end of the movie is the audio tape recorded of a bear mauling him and his girlfriend. And it's horrible because you can just hear her shrieks as he's being mauled and then she's being mauled to death. But yeah, you know, it's an age-old story. Don't trust a wild animal and you'll be all right.
Did you ever hear about the story of the couple that wanted to get pictures of their... I don't know if this is true. Apparently it is. But I remember my uncle told me this, where they wanted to get a picture with their kids and the bears. So they had the brainwave of smothering their kids in honey. And the bears came along and ate the kids.
What?
That sounds fake.
What?
No, I think it is actually true. That's your homework.
Nah,
I don't know. The Stranger Things. we just had a mayor.
Our family, no name.
You can't be that retarded.
Well, not being bad, Luxy boy, you just have to take one little tiptoe through the internet, and you know, I think that question could be answered for you. But yeah, apparently, I remember my uncle told me that about 15 years ago. I can't remember if it's true or not, but imagine that.
Did they get the photos?
I don't know. I think they're probably too horrified of the fucking of their kids being eaten. But I just remember hearing it. I don't know how true it is. But you know, you got the fella who thinks he can live with bears. You got you had the two lads in The Simpsons where they had the leopard, is it? Where you know, oh yes, we rescued the wild
Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah. And he's sitting there, and you know they come up and say, "Hey, tiger!" And they shoot him, and they rescue him from his like easy life to fucking perform circus tricks. And then he thinks back to that, and he savages the two lads. That actually happened, didn't it? About 10 years later.
Yeah, Siegfried and Roy, the Las Vegas act. Yeah,
the two gay German lads. I don't know if they were gay. Allegedly. Yeah, allegedly. When the Simpsons were made out to be gay.
Allegedly German.
Yeah, but, not allegedly mauled though. That did actually happen. But that's all mental. But speaking of mental, I read his book, Jermaine Pennant. Sean, what the fuck were you doing? Which one of you lads put that into the group about him and Jeremy Kyle?
I did.
Why were you doing watching Jeremy Kyle?
A friend of mine, I was in work, you know, being the busy man that I am, and a message happened to catch my eye, which it very rarely does because I'm normally very busy at work and concentrate what I'm doing. But yeah, I opened up the message and surprise, surprise, Jermaine Pennant was on Jeremy Kyle's show with his wife being accused of being a love rat. Now, as interesting as that may seem to some, I genuinely feel, because if people don't know, he was on Celebrity Big Brother a few months ago, and it was revealed after a couple of weeks, if you didn't know anything about Jermaine Pennant, which most people don't, that he was actually married, but he had been chasing around a 19-year-old Page 3 model on Celebrity Big Brother. So, of course, you know, the women and anyone that has any morals were calling him a pig, and rightfully so, because he was ostensibly cheating on his wife by directly flirting, openly flirting with another female on live TV. But me being me, you know, the more I think about it, and especially after I saw his appearance, I didn't actually see his appearance, but the reported appearance of him on Jeremy Kyle is that given where he is in life, I genuinely feel, and I think his wife is a model on Babe Station,
yes,
as far as I'm aware. So I genuinely feel like
another friend told you that, Luxie, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like these two, yeah, like these two members of Mensa.
That's a bit of homework then that I'm sure we can all do.
That is,
yeah, yeah, sure. I think these two got together or thought of the idea of, you know, you, in order to boost our profile, and especially her profile, because her profile is largely built on him because he's a more well-known character, that they both said, here, look, what you should do when you go on Celebrity Big Brother is cheat or try cheat or pretend like you're going to cheat on me. That, therefore, we get more exposure. Therefore, we get more money. Therefore, we get into other TV shows. And I'm sure their agent loved the fact that all this has transpired because it gets him more money because he gets a percent, or she gets more money because that person gets a cut of their TV appearances, and they would have been paid a shitload to appear on Jeremy Kyle. So I think it's a whole lot of bullshit. They're both in on it. It's easy TV for people that are interested in that. It's easy reading in the likes of Dunny's favourite newspaper, the Daily Mail.
That you always quote, you fuck. I never read the fucking thing, but anyway.
I like to believe I state facts, but yeah, no, I think it's a whole lot of bullshit, and he knows exactly what he's doing. He's been told, or he's been asked to do it by his wife. So they both get more money and she gets more exposure. But yeah, it's a ridiculous sight to see the likes of Jermaine Penn on Jermaine Kyle's show, knowing that he was in a Champions League final 10 years ago. So.
Oh, he never shuts up about that in his book, believe me, but that sort of completes it. Right, lads, we're going to leave it there. But speaking of ridiculous, one thing we just have to mention before we go, and I'm going to say one word, jive. our good friend Adrian Kennedy, you put it, we're going to finish up on this one, but you put it into the group. What was he at? What was going on?
I think Sean wants to talk about Kleenex before we go as well. But but he was doing, I mean, from what I could see, he was hosting, it looked like a kind of Strictly Come Dancing charity event for, you know, it could have been a sports club or whatever that was doing it. They're very popular and obviously for a great cause. And he was obviously in hosting it, and I don't know what he was doing, but he was asking the audience a question about what dance a couple had done. And you know, he obviously, the showman that he is, built the suspense before trying to then turn on a sixpence and announce it as the jive. But and, you know, as I said, that's as you get older, that can cause you great difficulty, like your knee blown out. Yeah, it was one of them falls that because it happens in installments, so you see him swivel the knee lock. Yeah. And then just collapse. But yeah, no one rushed to his aid, which I felt bad for him for. But extremely funny, made of course by the fact that he was shouting, "The jive!" As he was saying. So, yeah,
he looked like he was someone like sniper rifle.
Yeah. Well, I suppose they can rename him then, John F. Adrian Kennedy. Yeah. I don't know why. It's always the little things like that that give you the most amusement.
They do. They absolutely do. Right, lads. Before we leave, for a wrap up or wipe up, Sean, you've a bee in your bonnet. Kleenex man size. What's going on?
Yeah, Kleenex, due to complaints, are getting rid of man size tissues. And they're changing them to, I think, large size tissues or something like that, because calling something man size is, of course, sexist nowadays. That's so, lads, you're going to have to get new football teams. Manchester United and Manchester City. Sexist. Going to be Paris and Chester United. And
and they'll love that, though, Sean. Those two fucking nesties over there. That's right up their fucking street, isn't it? They love a bit of that. All that fucking feminism shite. Don't you?
So what are you, Dunny? A right wing nut?
No, not a right wing nut. I'm just sitting on the fence, watching both sides tear each other apart.
Well, Dunny, like, obviously, you know, this offends you a lot. Like, what tissues do you use? You don't use man size, do you?
No, I use baby wipes.
Baby wipes.
Baby Rice. I have a very sensitive arse, Frank. So, you know, like to go for confidant style. None of this sandpaper shite. Like that, you know?
Jeez, what a way to end the show.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you how it will end it. Next week, I am going to see the greatest band of all time, U2 at the O2 for two nights. Yeah, absolutely. No, not Coldplay. Rip off play. Fucking U2 light. But no, going to see U2 next week. Can't wait for it at the O2. And then going to see him in November. But yeah, can't bring it on. Bring fucking, I want to hear Bono. I want to hear him on a soapbox. I want to be lectured. Lecture me, Bono, please. Tell me what I'm doing wrong from your ivory tower in France. Right. We'll leave it there, lads. Thank you very much. We'll talk again next week. It was great having you on. I'll see you later.
Get up the yard.